Father, this is not about me this morning. This is not about my words this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, that what you have laid on my heart will come through from the Father. I pray that it will seed in hearts this morning. I pray that it will leave an impression on hearts this morning. Seeds and impressions that, Holy Spirit, coming through this year, you will water, you will grow, you will bring into the fullness of what you're going to share this morning. So I ask, Lord, open our hearts. Lord, give me the words to say. In my weakness, Holy Spirit, be my strength. I just ask for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd just like you to keep your eyes closed a second. And I want you to imagine one of those summer days when perhaps you're at the beach and the sun is burning down on you and it's really, really hot. You know those days when you don't have to move and you just sweat buckets because it's so hot. And how you can get to a point in that day where you long for the cool breeze to come and cool you down. Well, you can experience that cool breeze this morning as you listen to me. So I can open your eyes. It's cool in here. So I pray that you will experience a warmth in your heart. I guess over the last months, God's been speaking to me about church life in 2020. And I wanted to talk to you about that. I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to be expounding on the Word of God. I'm going to be presenting brushstrokes, an outline, not detail. And I thought, well, how can I best explain that? Well, in a painting sense, I'm going to give you a Turner this morning. Now, if you don't know what that is actually a steamship. That is a steamship. You can just see the smoke coming out. It's at sea, and that's the pedal. But it's very hard to get detail out of that, isn't it? It just gives you an impression of what it is. Where if you compare that to a constable. Now, a constable, you get a lot more detail. And I knew straight away what was happening in this picture. That little baby donkey had obviously headbutted that young child. And he was unconscious in the water. And the sheep were thinking, none of this. We're not getting involved with this. We're off. The farmer is coming to see what's going on. And mum's saying, well, it's nothing to do with me. I'm doing what all donkeys eat. I eat off the branches. Now, you might have your own interpretation of that scene. But you know what it is. So I'm gonna give you two apologies this morning. The first one is this, for anyone who's into detail, anyone who is strategic, so I apologize, Bill, this morning, because I'm going to mess with your head, because I'm only going to give brush strokes in what I'm going to talk about. But that is so important, because I want it to be an impression that's left on your heart that the Holy Spirit is going to grow as we journey through what I'm going to share this morning. And God has been speaking to me about have been five areas within the church life which are in the shape of pillars, and I'm going to explain that in a minute. The first one is a year of alignment. The second one is a year of 2020 vision. The third one is an authentic community. The fourth one is a year of transition. And then the fifth one is the World Church. And I pray that you see that they will all intertwine with each other. But each area is to be built upon in 2020. Hence the analogy of a pillar. Because a pillar is something that not only supports, a pillar is something that you build upon. And I really want us to allow the Holy Spirit to take these brushstrokes and build upon what I'm sharing this morning. So, the first one is fear of alignment. We are edging closer to the purchase of this centre. We still do need to pray. Unfortunately, with Kevin Danks going and the new guy coming in, it is causing some issues because he's obviously trying to get up to speed. And boundaries seem to be an issue at the moment. So please don't feel it's all done and dusted. We need to pray this through until this building and this land is in our hands. I really sense that actually with the coming in of the purchase of the centre, there's an alignment coming in. That actually that when that alignment comes in, we're going to see the purposes of God move in a way that we haven't seen before. But as I've always said, there is something spiritual about owning the land. You read through the Old Testament, when they owned that, when God gave them that land, there's something different than just renting, just passing through. And I was encouraged. I listened to the responses from the different prayer groups last Sunday, and one was from, I think it was the centre group, that the purchase would bring new doors of opportunity. And I believe that's what this alignment will do. And some months back, at one of the Tuesday morning prayer meetings, God drew me to Deuteronomy 11, and particularly verse 11, which says this: "But the land that you're going over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water by the rain from heaven." And when I read that verse, I just immediately thought of the flood alleviation. That is what it was created to do, is to drink the water so it doesn't go pouring into the town. And I just suddenly, God opened my eyes to see, actually, God built that flood alleviation for a purpose, for his own purpose, and it was to catch that comes from heaven. And then I was drawn to the rest of Deuteronomy 11. Because when you look at Deuteronomy 11, which we'll come to in a minute, there's a parallel, there's a dual. It's not just about possessing the land that the Israelites were going into. There was this spiritual alignment in their relationship with God that he was reminding them of. Well, what is a spiritual alignment? Well, a definition that I came across was discovering the essence of your being and the deepest values by which you live by. You connect to a higher source of intelligence or power, identifying with something greater than the material world. Being spiritual becomes a way of life. Isn't that what we're called to be? To live a spiritual life. So this whole alignment, not just with the purchase of the center, but with our alignment with what God wants to say to us, is actually a challenge in our alignment with our relationship with him, with our relationship with one another. It's aligning with extending his kingdom and in making disciples. And it's aligning in living lives of integrity and character. All of these should be a way of life for us. So let me help explain this a bit more. Deuteronomy 11 isn't just about the land, as I've said, the Israelites were going in to possess. It should be how they were to live once they possessed that land. If you look at verse 1, it says, "You shall therefore love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his rules, and his commandments always." That's what God was saying to them before they moved into the promised land. And I feel that is a challenge to us as we take ownership of this building, of this land, that there's a personal challenge to us in our relationship with God. Taking ownership of this comes with responsibilities, I believe, for us corporately and individually. I'm going to read you quite a bit from Deuteronomy 11, starting from verse 8. It says, "You shall therefore keep the whole commandment that I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and take possession of the land that you are going over to possess. God has given us this center, this land, and that you may live long in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them and to their offspring, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land that you're entering to take possession of is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and irrigated it like a garden of vegetables. And I just felt, you know, our old building was much smaller than this. It's almost like a little garden that we were come from, that God was giving us this great expanse of moving into this land. It goes on to say in verse 11, as I read, but the land you are going over to possess is a land of hills and valleys which drinks water by the rain from heaven. A land that the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of your Lord your God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, he will give you the rain from the land in its season, the early rain and the late rain, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil, and he will give grass in your fields for your livestock, and you shall eat and be full. Take care lest your heart be deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain and will yield no fruit, and you will perish quickly off the good land that the Lord is giving you. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlet between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when they are sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. For if you will be careful to do all this commandment that I command you to do, loving the Lord your God, walking in all his ways and holding fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispose nations greater and mightier than you. Every place which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. I'm not going to go through these, but I just want you to pray that you catch the parallel. There's the parallel of God giving us this land to possess. That is going to see, that we will see much fruit. You can read through those verses, the favor that would be upon the Israelites, upon us. But the jewel with that is, key to that is, our relationship with him. If I was to sum that chapter up, it was, in loving and serving God with all our hearts and soul, keeping God central in every aspect of our lives, we will be fruitful. It's about him being center of our lives. This spiritual alignment is a call to obedience, integrity and purity. I couldn't think of another word, so I apologize if you don't like the word, but church, we got to get serious with God this year. This world desperately needs you. We are going to see favor and the hand upon God in this center. But we must never, ever, ever lose that God is central in that. That we live lives that are obedient to him. That we have an integrity about him that comes through our relation from him. That we live lives that are pure and holy. Every day we have decisions to make in our lives. Do we live by our own impulses, or do we live according to the instructions God has given us in his word? Do we go on our own with our own best thinking, or do we submit ourselves to the rule and the leading of the Holy Spirit? Sometimes we have to make that choice multi times a day. And you know, obedience is an act of the will. It's not a reflection of our emotions. Obedience isn't a take or leave. We have to choose to be obedient in our lives in everything that God is saying in His Word and by His Holy Spirit. And I'm in and out. So this year, what does God want to say to you? And when He says what He wants to say to you, do as He says in what He wants to say to you. Paul says this in Galatians. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. You know, Paul is encouraging the church. He's encouraging us to be set apart from the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And we are to be in the world, full of the Holy Spirit. We are called to walk by the Holy Spirit. So I believe that this alignment is that we should be aligning our lives to steward them well, full of the Holy Spirit. We have seen God do marvelous, miraculous things with this building. We will see those purposes grow. But let us not be a people that do not do it without that alignment with our personal relationship and full of the Holy Spirit in our walk for Jesus. The second pillar, 2020 vision. This came and started to come to me from Alan Ball. When one Sunday last year, said, oh, it's 2020 next year, 2020 vision. And I thought, yeah, that's so true. And I bet 99% of the churches have used what I'm about to say this year. Okay. 2020 vision, clarity. I believe God wants to perfect our vision in how we see things. There's a core to be a focused church. Going back to Deuteronomy 11, it says, keeping God in view. If we are keeping God in view, things that are foggy, out of focus, disrupted or obscure, will become crystal clear. He will show us things that we cannot see in the natural. We need to have a crystal clear vision of the harvest that is before us in the communities that we live. A clear vision moves us into a position to help restore souls. The wonder of it is God has called you to bring people into His kingdom, to restore souls that otherwise will be left for eternity. But I feel that clarity as well is about a clarity in our relationship with one another, a clarity in our relationship with God, and a clarity in our calling and mission. If we align to Him, we'll have a clarity that will come from Him. It's about setting our hearts deeply connected to Jesus and who we are committed to fully obey. If we are doing that, He will enable us to see how He sees. I was really stirred, and it's something we all know. You carry the Holy Spirit. So if you carry the Holy Spirit, He enables you to see how Jesus sees. He enables you to see how to see your neighbors, your family, your friends, this community. He will help you to see how He wants you to see this world. If we don't, we see the world how the world sees the world. And that becomes suddenly this huge, dark, black mountain that we think, how is it ever going to change? We need to see it how Jesus sees. He allowed the sun to rise this morning because he's got souls he needs to want to come into his kingdom. Having 2020 vision brings clarity that will bring acceleration and advancement. This clarity comes again from that alignment of walking closely with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, our spiritual alignment within our relationship with God is key. The two are intertwined. The third pillar, an authentic community. We talked about a church weekend again within leadership, but last year a number of people came up and said, wouldn't it be good to have a weekend away again? And I think it would. We're a family, and so what we're aiming to do is in the autumn have another weekend away. I mean, those that were here when we did one, I can't remember how many years ago it was, when we went to Whitemore Lakes. Well, we want to have a weekend away as family because it does something to the dynamics when we're all together. So here's my first plea. We need to form a team who will help make this happen. Okay? And that team, I advise you, try and keep it in this country unless you've got the faith to take it abroad. Okay? But if you want to be involved in that, can you come and see? So that stirred me about family. The second thing that really struck me about family, when we were in, we went to listen to a talk by the guys who minister into the LGBT community. And I thought, how do they do that? Well, by the grace of God and full of the Holy Spirit. But they're seeing fruit within that community. They're seeing souls saved and sins forgiven. But one thing that I came away with that was the importance of family. How from that community they need family, but actually in their own community they are quite strong at being family together. And actually when they get saved, they bring an element of family into church that doesn't perhaps get seen in every facet. I couldn't get this out of my head about the importance of us being family, actually the power of us being family. And when I say authentic community, I'm not talking about perfect. I'm talking about real. I came across this definition of the word authentic that said, not false or copied, genuine, real, representing one's true nature or beliefs, true to oneself or to the person identified. I don't say this as a judgment or criticism. I just say it as an observation. You know, I think the church has been good at saying things, but then what it does and what it looks like and acts like sometimes can be different. And the world turns and say, what's the point? I get enough of that in the world. What it's looking for is genuine, authentic, real family. What we're saying with our mouths, we're living in our lives. Bernice Brown, who's a author, and I think Bernie Brown. What? Brené, sorry. Brené Brown says this: to be authentic, we must cultivate the courage to be imperfect and vulnerable. We have to believe that we are fundamentally worthy of love and acceptance, just as we are. If you don't know that this morning, you need to know that. You are worthy. You are loved. I've learned that there is no better way to invite more grace, gratitude, and joy into our lives than by mindfully practicing authenticity. The Greek word for fellowship is something like koinonia. Thank you, Tim. Can you say that louder? Koine, thank you. And if you translate it, it means communion, fellowship, sharing, participation. You look at the world we live in. Family, relationships, fellowship in society, on the whole, is breaking down. I'm not saying it's happening everywhere, but it's becoming increasingly noticeable. We have an opportunity to shine in this world. We have an opportunity to show this world what God intended family to be. Not because we've got it, but because He's given it. Each and every one. We're not perfect. We will never be a perfect church. But you've got something that the world needs. Something that it's crying out for. And again, I was just so stirred by last Sunday that saying that the centre would be a beacon of light and a lighthouse. And you know what? God is calling to us. It's not something that He's not giving us the example of. His nature is that He is in family. He is in relationship. You've only got to look at the Trinity, the three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are a community that is in relationship. It is God's nature to be in relationship. And then therefore, shouldn't it be the church's nature that we reflect who God is and be in fellowship, in family, in a community of people together with one another? You know, we cannot find our true identity or our true being, or what we've been called to, if we're isolated. We need that in the community of relationship that God has called us to. And you know, if you look at the Bible as a whole, it's fundamentally about relationship. Yes, it's about mission from beginning to end, but it is fundamentally as well about relationship. You know, we got a picture of that when we were going through the series on covenants. God is concerned with creating a church as a community. 59 times Paul uses the one another as a command in his letters. I guess he's trying to tell us something about one anothering if he's using it that much. Theologian Karl Barth says, "The real church is the assembly which is called, united, held together and governed by the word of her Lord, or she is not the real church." Philip Yancey says, "God is personal. He enters into people's lives, messes with families, shows up in the unexpected places, chooses unlikely leaders, calls people to account, but most of all, God loves." When you look at the Trinity, you see a community who find their true being in relationship. On earth, the most clearly that we see is the relationships between humans. So it has to mean that our community is more than just a Sunday. If we're going to be authentic, we've got to be that family that lives life together. Now, we're not going to live together, literally. But we've got to be that demonstration throughout our life and those 7 days of the week. And here comes my second apology. We got it wrong how we implemented Connect Groups. We had the heart behind it. And I think I have to take responsibility for that as well, in the setup and structure of it. I think it was a step too far, and we made it too complicated. The fruit was we lost something in gathering outside of Sundays. Now, I'm not saying it completely, because there were Connect Groups, And there are even groups now, which is really encouraging, organic groups, which are formed, which are running outside. And they're doing numerous things. And I know there's a couple of Bible study groups that are going to be fun. Bob mentioned one this morning, him and Nettie, are just wanting to fellowship together. And when I was thinking about this, I want to give you a brushstroke of what I feel, and we've talked about this in our leadership team, not to a great degree, but I felt I wanted to just share it, of what elements a connect group should have. And it should have an opportunity to fellowship. It should have an opportunity for discipleship. It should have an opportunity for us to be accountable with one another. That's how we grow. We should have an opportunity to eat together. I'm a bit more enthusiastic about it. But you know, that was such a special time when we had that meal at the end of the covenant. And it doesn't mean you have to have a meal together. It could be coffee. It doesn't have to be a massive thing. It can be such a localized thing. But there should be opportunity for training and an opportunity to look and discuss the word together. Now, it doesn't mean you have to have all those elements in one. It can be one or more of those elements. And I'm not going to go into structure, but I will say, and this is where we're being challenged as a team, it mustn't go back to being a Tuesday, Wednesday. It's when it fits best, whether that's daytime, evening. It can be weekly or monthly. And if you're leading that, you don't have to lead it till Jesus returns. Some may like to do that. Well, that's fine. And we as a leadership have got to look how we can support you in that. Sometimes it is just being there for you when you say, look, we're doing this. This is how it's going. And that might be all it is. But we've got to reflect kingdom community in the community and in the church. Because I believe it will affect the world around us. Remember, you look at fellowship, you look at community, you look at family in the world, and it's struggling. And I'm not saying that generally. I know in places it's going great, but generally it is struggling. We have a mission as a church to be a witness as a united church. See, I believe demonstrating authentic kingdom community is key to being a beacon of hope and to being that lighthouse to an ever world. The center will facilitate that to a degree. But God, through you, will bring hope and restoration and light. And it's interesting, the New Testament has a lot more to say about the kind of community the church ought to be before the world than it has to say about its mission to the world. However, Jesus made it abundantly plain that the reason he wanted his people to develop true community was so that the world may believe. You know, when I first went into the church where Jacqueline was with Trevor and Jean, I wasn't a Christian. I was 24 years old. The only thing I knew about church was Thora Heard. Who remembers Thora? She used to do songs of praise in a fruit hat. And I noticed it, but I had no concept or interest. The first thing that struck me when I went through that door, this was family. This gathering was different. They actually seemed like they wanted to be there. They wanted to be together. And it drew me in. No one said to me, Jesus first. What drew me in was I went in there and I thought, these people want to be together. There's something different about these people. They actually look like they not only like each other, but they love each other. So do not think there's not power in being a demonstration of the family that he's called us to be. If we are aligning our relationship with God, he will give us the clarity to see how he sees, which enables us to reflect the kingdom community he's called us to be. So you need that alignment. You need that 2020 vision to be that authentic people that he's called us to be. Are you still with me? Pillar four is the year of transition. Now this year, starting in May, we're going on holiday, and then for 6 weeks, I'm going to have a sabbatical. I want to say a couple of things. I'm not ill, and there's nothing wrong. This is not being forced upon me. This is something I have asked. But actually, it's to stop me being ill and being something wrong. I've been an elder leader in the church since 2001, and I've been full-time since 2009. And I just need a bit of a break to charge my batteries. Not because you're all heavy going. I love you all. It's just I need a sabbatical. And I thought, well, how can I explain it to you? Well, I came across this, which hopefully will help you understand. A true sabbatical is a season of Sabbath for prolonged rest. It's like stringing together a number of Sabbath days. It's an extended time in which you do not work, you do no pastoring, no hoovering, no leading, no ministering, no visioning the future of the church, no sermon planning. You don't try to accomplish anything big. If pastors don't care for their own souls under God, respecting their personal limits and nurturing their own relationship with God and their family, then their ministry eventually collapses. Pastoral work is extremely stressful, and a lack of spiritual rest is especially hazardous to the effectiveness of pastoral ministry. I live what I am. And God is gracious because he enables me and empowers me to do that. And please, I am not belittling anyone that works hard in this church, because there are people who secularly work very hard. But I know of pastors who burn out, and I don't want to be one of them. So I hope you understand why I'm taking it. And, you know, it's an opportunity for others to rise up, because we are family together in this. And talking of transition, Sheila, would you like to come up? You don't have to write that down. Sheila, would you like to come up? Because that's you. This is a year of transition. And you know Sheila wears quite a few, I don't like calling them, you have quite a few areas that you're involved in. And one of her passions, I know, is pastoring, pastoral. The two of Sheila's hats is a director and treasurer. They're separate. Now, Sheila would like to step back from being, because she wants the time to seek God and to be involved with that more pastoring. So we are releasing Sheila from that. We're going to honour you for that in a minute. But her second role is treasurer. And yes, she has help from her husband with the figures and laying things out. But you know, she has been and is such a blessing to me as treasurer. She would like to step back from that. And that's fine, because she wants to develop those areas pastorally and whatever else God might have. You've got the cinema and other things. So that's a call to us then. Who is going to step up? Who is going to be called to be our next treasurer? Now, it has to be a calling, because it isn't just about figures and numbers. It's about being conscientious, a good steward. It is about holding counsel. She knows all about your finances. But it's great. Sheila holds that to herself. I particularly, as a leader, don't want to know what people give. Sheila knows, but it stays in her counsel. But the other element that she has brought is faith. She challenges us as directors and leaders, and me personally, so many times, you ought to give more, Richard. I don't hear many treasurers saying that. So I want to honour her for that, but I want you to know what it needs to look like when we are looking for a treasure, because We want whoever comes along from Sheila to move it on, not to go backwards with that. And you've done so much. So she's going to stay as treasurer until God speaks to you or brings that person in. So we're praying actively for that. But I wanted to thank you and honour you for what you've done as a director and also what you are doing at present as a treasurer. You have been such a blessing in that. I don't think you realise how much sometimes, but you have. And we've got a little something for you. Oh, yeah, we have. Please feed it 3 times a day, otherwise it will die, okay? No, it won't die, but there you go.
Yeah, it's been a real privilege to serve as a director. Yeah, it really has. And to learn or have insights into the running of this community centre, and it's made me realise what a huge challenge that is, well, for directors, for the whole church, because it's not just any community centre. This is totally different operating here because we are the Church of God trying to operate a community centre. It's not just about practicals, it's about how we do things and honour God the way it's actually run. So I just, yeah, thank you for the opportunity. And I say, it has, it's been a real privilege. And thank you for those, they're absolutely fabulous. Amen.
You know, this transition is for every single one of us. God has plans and purposes for each and every one of you. That was the declaration we started with at the beginning of this year. And we, as disciples of Jesus and followers of Jesus, should be growing and transitioning through this year. We all have an identity. You each have a calling life, and within that calling you have assignments. So at the moment, not the moment, my calling is to lead. My assignment at this moment is I lead this church, but assignments change. But you each have a calling on your life, and within that calling you have talents and you have abilities that God has given you. And you can say "but I" all day long. The truth is, you have abilities and talents that God has given you. He has given you the Holy Spirit to enable you to go forth progressing in not only in every area of your life, but in what He has called you to. It's what disciples do. The truth is, in life, we have a plateau. We are either going forward or we're going back. So my encouragement, my prayer for you, is that you will progress this year. That you will go forward in all that God has for you, knowing that He has equipped you and given you the ability and talents that you need, that you have the Spirit within you who will empower you, lead you, guide you, comfort you, give the peace that you need for this year. Okay. And then I'm going to cover the World Church now until mid-September. So if you want to get a biscuit, I'm only joking. I was challenged at one of our preachers' meeting as to what God was saying to the World Church. And I'd already looked at and was looking at the alignment, the 2020 vision, the authentic community, and a year of transition. When I came across 20 prophetic words from world leaders that have been brought together, and I just started looking at them, and some I didn't know, some I didn't feel were relevant, but there were names that I did know, and there were people that I had crossed paths in what they had brought, and each of them were asked, what do they see for 2020? What do they see for this next decade that's coming? And as I began to read, I was really encouraged that there was a definite theme running through them. Not only running through the prophetic words, but also elements running through what God had been showing me about these four pillars. And actually, from what you were praying last Sunday. Please hear me. I'm not trying to make these prophetic words fit. This is what jumped out at me when I was reading them and thinking, God, that's what you've been saying and probably what I haven't been conveying very well this morning. So just before we have communion, I'm just going to read you through a quote that you may see that actually, well, yeah, God might be saying something to us here that he's saying to the world. The first one is from Joyce Meyer. She says, as we move forward in the next 10 years, we must realize we're dealing with a new generation and we should strive to minister in a way that's relevant to them. The gospel message of Jesus Christ never changes, but the way we package it may need to. Many things and ways that we cling to are merely generational and not important to God, e.g. dress, music styles. Surely we can change these if it makes the gospel more attractive to a needy generation. Young people today are searching for authenticity and are able to spot phoniness very quickly. No brand of dead dry religion will capture their attention. They won't abide people who tell others what to do yet fail to do themselves. They want spiritual mothers and fathers who set a good example for them and love them wholeheartedly. It's important for us to look beyond and how people dress and see them the way Jesus does. The church is praying for revival, but I wonder if you're ready, really ready for it, for one. Because if we have true revival, the people who come in may not be people like us, who we are typically comfortable with. They may not look like us, dress like us, or talk like us. The Apostle Paul said he learned to be all things to all people in order to reach them with the gospel message. Are we ready to do the same? The world desperately needs to see Jesus, and the church is all they have to look as an example. We must strive to be like Jesus in all our ways. That is us being an authentic, real people to the people who we come across and meet. Harry Jackson, just a snippet, says, in 2020, the church will have to rebuild families in an unprecedented manner. Cindy Jacobs says, the church in 2020 will be a focused church. Just as 2020 vision gives us the ability to see clearly, the church of the future will become more and more focused on the mandate that we are to disciple and teach the nations. Chuck Pierce, the real war in days ahead will come over how the church gather fellowship and exercise our kingdom authority. We don't just sit here and think we're going to be the church. We have to, in that obedience and through the word of God and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, demonstrate what fellowship and gathering looks like. And then finally, Mike Bickle from International House of Prayer. There will be those who have set their hearts to live deeply connected to Jesus and who are committed to full obedience. They will prayerfully devour the Word of God and encounter the Spirit's power in different ways. They'll reach out in justice with God's love to people and to transform society. They'll call people to love Jesus on God's terms as they are faithfully proclaim the whole counsel of God, including its unpopular aspects. As they impart these values to others, there will rise up praying churches that will be small group based and have varying expressions of meeting and ministry style, both within and outside the church. Such groups will regularly experience God's presence together with a spirit of prayer and prophecy, as they faithfully speak out in ways true to Scripture, but unpopular to the masses. They will be ridiculed more and more by mainstream religion and media. You know, to be a beacon of hope, to be that lighthouse, will attract people. And for some, they won't like what they see. But that doesn't mean that we're to stop being who Jesus has called us to be. Aligning our lives to Jesus deepening the values by which we live by, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, leads to spiritual becoming a way of life for us. Sight will have more clarity about it as we see as Jesus sees. And we will increasingly lead, which will increasingly lead to a family of living out authentic kingdom community. Shining as that beacon of hope, being that light upon a hill, a lighthouse to an ever darkening world, is a calling upon each of our lives to fulfill. That as we transition through, we will be doers of the word, making disciples of all the nations. So how are we going to end this morning? Well, we've talked about alignment. Alignment when we purchase a center, aligning our lives in our personal relationship with God, that through that we will have a clarity of 2020 vision, that we will have that spiritual alignment that will enable us to see as Jesus sees. And through that, and through our obedience and our walk, through the empowering of the Holy Spirit, through not being a perfect people, but being a powerful people in the Holy Spirit, who live by the Word of God, who act out what the Word of God says, we will be that authentic community. We will be a demonstration, a beacon, a light to the people that we come into contact with and who we live with. At the heart of all this is relationship. And where do we take our relationship? Well, we always take it, I take mine, back to the cross, because that's what Jesus did for me and what he's done for you in dying for you. So we're going to finish our time by taking communion. We're going to break the bread and thank God for what he has done in each of our lives. We're going to thank him that out of that act is a covenant relationship that we have with Jesus. You have been born for such a time as this. It is an honor and a privilege to serve the Lord Jesus, particularly in the days that we live. And we thank you, God, that you gave us the example of what community is to be like through the Trinity. But even more so, what a true relationship is when you laid your life for each one of us. I thank you that as we take the wine, we are reminded of the blood that you spilt for us. I thank you that there is power in the blood of Jesus today. I thank you that in all that you've said today, you're not expecting us to do it in our strength, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I pray, Lord, as we take bread, as we take wine, as we go back to our seats, as we individually just sit and thank you for what you have done, I pray, Lord, that you will speak, Holy Spirit, elements shared from this morning. I pray that you will put impressions on hearts, whether that's about alignment, vision, that authentic community, transition, or what you have said to us through those four pillars, but also what you're saying through the church, calling to obedience, having a vision to see how Jesus sees, to reach the nations, to make disciples. Lord, we just ask you, will you just bring the detail? Will you grow what you to us, I ask, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.